Stark fans, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Shrews Views podcast, brought to you by the Shropshire Star. And it is a very, very, very upbeat episode today. My name is Johnny Drury. I'm alongside Ollie Westbury, who's currently yawning his head off in front of me on the computer screen, probably because he's had a very, very celebratory few days. A good Saturday down in the capital as Salop secured their League One status for another year with a 1-1 draw against Charlton. Have you been celebrating the last few days? Oh, would you have a few drinks over the weekend just to celebrate Salop's survival?
I got some sleep. That's what I did. I got some sleep. I was just saying to you off pod, wasn't I? It's a long old day getting to Charlton. Even though it's not that far, it is just an absolute pain in the ass to get to. And I got stuck in traffic on the way back. I got stuck behind the Man City fans leaving Wembley.
Oh no.
Going back up the M1. So I didn't get back till after midnight. But there you go. But it was good. Glad Shrewsbury stayed up the boys. Just saves that any final day tension, I suppose, doesn't it? That's not what you want. You don't want to be going into the last game of the league season thinking you've got too much to play for. Like, that's not what you want. So, no. You know, really pleased for Town that, you know, they've managed to kind of bypass those kind of the struggles and the nerves and the, you know, that those emotions that there will be on the final day of the season. And, you know, it'll be a bit of a dead rubber, which will be probably a little bit boring, but you know, I think I'd much rather have that than be knowing that we need to get a point or we need to get a result to stay up. I'd say it's pretty positive.
Yeah, pretty positive. You know, positive week really. We'll reflect on two huge results that have led to Town's survival in the next sort of 20 minutes to half an hour. We'll discuss what's going to happen over the summer. Good interview with Paul Hurst that Ollie did that was in the Star a couple of days ago, talking about some big decisions that are going to need to be made this summer. And we'll also talk about Daniel Udo, who's come out with some very strong words regarding his Salop future. But Ollie, we'll reflect on it really, just because, you know, it looked like Salop were going to survive. Then they almost got sort of sucked back into it a little bit. Obviously, defeat at Portsmouth, then that disappointing home defeat to Wickham. But last week, you know, two draws in the space of 4 days against, you know, first against Bolton, which was a superb evening for Salop, and then Charlton. It says a lot about the character of these players, doesn't it? And, you know, the job that Paul Hurst has done. Look, Shrewsbury only just scraped survival. It's not, you know, it is still a disappointing campaign. But in terms of those two results, to get them where they did on the road as well, where earlier in the campaign, Shrewsbury were awful away from home. So to go and do it in that style, it's a pretty good, you know, it was a test of character and they, you know, they stood up to it magnificently.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would be one of many who didn't think that they would get anything from that week. Perhaps the draw against Charlton, now I look back at it in hindsight, given the fact that they'd drawn 9 out of their last 13 matches, was maybe semi-predictable. But no, I didn't think they'd get anything from it, to be perfectly honest with you. Immense the way they took it to Bolton on the front foot, offered a threat, and deserved. I mean, it feels like a lifetime ago now, but they deserved that lead. You know, they deserved to be leading. It was a shame, you know, I can't even remember what happened. It was 2-2, wasn't it? It feels like so much has happened since we went to Bolton that I literally, like, can't remember. But they deserved that lead. They deserved, you know, their point. I thought Bolton were probably a little bit underwhelming, not quite at their best. They were desperate to win that game and they just didn't quite hit their straps, and there was an awful lot of moaning. But then to back that up a couple of days later on the road to go and get a point against Charlton was equally as impressive, I suppose. I mean, it's just stark contrast from that game against Wickham. I mean, honestly, Johnny, that game against Wickham was not good. That was a really, really difficult game to watch. And it just kind of surprises you a little bit how that, you know, the team can go from, you know, you know, being so poor to being, you know, as good as they were in, especially the first half of each game. They were excellent. They kind of hung on a little bit in the second half against Charlton, who kind of rallied around a bit after the break. But, you know, I was really, really impressed with Shrews and the way they went about their business. You know, it was it was good to see. I really do think it was good to see it in London on Saturday, and you know, we can start turning our attentions towards next season there.
Yeah, that's the case. What stood out for you really? Oh, you know, were they deserved points? It's usually we've got all three, maybe one in one of them games. You know, how did you sort of, how do you reflect on both of them now looking back?
I think they were fair points. I would have said, I don't think Shrewsbury deserved to win. I definitely don't think they deserved to win. I think it'd have been a bit of a daylight robbery if they'd have won, especially the Bolton game. Bolton did have chances of their own. There was one that Morgan Feeney cleared off the line. And Charlton, you know, could quite easily have scored a couple in the second half and won 2-1. Incidentally, that point is looking it more and more valuable after the results last night with Cheltenham beating Peterborough, isn't it? So, yeah, I feel as though, yeah, it's a positive. It's good for town that they managed to get that result. And I thought they were good value for a point in both games. You know, what they really seem to have gained is a real threat. So yeah, it's really good to see them, you know, carrying a bit more of a threat. And you know, it's good to see, I mean, Dan Udo came out after the game, didn't he, and said that since Paul Hurst has come in, he's having 3 shots a half, which is a lot more than he was having before. So they are offering a threat going forward, which, you know, at times this season they just really, really haven't offered.
Yeah, that there does seem to be that distinct sort of change. You know, how do you reflect on Paul Hurst's sort of time in charge? Obviously, the overriding success is the fact that Salop is still a League One club, and they will be next season with him still at the helm. You know, has it maybe gone, I don't want to say worse than he expected, because I'm sure he would have, you know, his aim was, and his remit was to keep Shrewsbury up. But I'm sure there does seem like times where they maybe could have got a few more points here or there, and there was some disappointing moments. But obviously, overall, he's achieved the aim of keeping Salop up.
I think the points return is similar to Matt Taylor's points return. So I don't think that's too different. But I think what this team does more so than the team at the start of the season is they pass the eye test a little bit more. And I'm not saying that they're brilliant in every game, because, you know, that they weren't. And there's been occasions, even under Paul Hurst, you know, you think to Wickham at home, you think to Lincoln away. There might be another couple in there, you know, where they've really, really, like Bristol Rovers away, it was another one where they really have been poor. But then at the same time, the team, for me, passes the eye test a lot more. It's more entertaining. It's been more entertaining to watch. There's been more chances. You look at the XG that Shrewsbury created at Cheltenham on Saturday. It was, I think, arguably the highest that they have created all season. You've got Dan Udo, who scored 6 goals in 15 games. There's just a little bit more. There's a little bit more up and at them. They're going after teams a little bit more. You know, they're not quite sitting off. And the games aren't dull affairs, I wouldn't say. I'd say they've got some real good points in there. And you also feel like, you know, in times gone by, especially early on in the season, it felt like once Shrewsbury went behind, that was it. You know, they were okay and they could hold on to a 1-0 lead, but it felt like very much a case of once they go behind, they really struggle. Whereas I don't feel like that's necessarily the case anymore. I feel like there's a little bit more belief and a little bit more resilience to them. So, yeah, I would say that they've improved more than their points tally suggests, albeit there have been the odd one in there that's been really difficult to watch, really difficult. But I would say that on, as a general rule, I would say that Paul Hurst and Doige can be pretty much, you know, I think they can be pretty pleased with their work since they've kind of taken over at the start of the year. I think they've done a pretty decent job, in fairness. And I think even though that points return doesn't perhaps reflect it, I think the team has kind of improved quite significantly. And it didn't surprise me to see Shrewsbury go to a place like Bolton and a place like Charlton, which, and get a result. I said it to a Shrewsbury fan on Tuesday before the game. I says, it wouldn't surprise me if we get something here. I feel like they can't be as bad as what they were at Wickham, which, by the way, until Flanagan's red card, was a 0-0 game. It was just a mistake. So yeah, it's one of them things, really. But I mean, that's my opinion. Other fans might disagree. I still think there is vast areas that they can improve, and I still think they need to be much, much better. But, you know, I think the signs of, I don't think if they'd have had a full season under Paul Hurst, they would have found themselves in the position that they were on Saturday with one game to go after it, where they're hoping to secure their League One survival. I think they'd have been safe long before then.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. Well, it is secured now. There is a sigh almost of relief, and we will reflect on the South campaign next week and in the coming weeks. But there's a few big points I want to talk about, really, Alt, just for the rest of the podcast. One is about Daniel Udo. Like you said, they're 6-15, and he's Salop's top scorer this season. Salop fans will have seen some of his comments in the Shropshire Star today, where he's been, well, you sort of bluntly asked him about his future. So we know that Dan Udo has had a contract offer on the table now since earlier in the campaign. And there has been little snippets of speculation, hasn't there, in terms of his future. I know Paul Hurst has been asked questions at times this season. So I just want to read out what Dan Udo's had to say. So I told you I'm a Shrewsbury fan. So that should be enough for you. My family are all here. I'm a local boy. Scroll down. He's also said, I play with Joe, the club's head of media, Joe Massey, and his children at Soft Play. Everyone is around here. I have left it down to the club. The thing with football is when you come as a non-league player, I am just so grateful for everything that has happened to me. It was the other day at Portsmouth I saw I'd played 177 games or something like that for Shrewsbury. If you told me 5 years ago I'd get 100 league games, I would have told you no. So I'm grateful for Shrewsbury and everything that has happened to me. I can actually imagine Dan Udo saying that, because he is probably one of the most humble players you'll ever meet. But that should be, you know, I suppose there are still question marks because the deal hasn't been agreed. But that should be music to Shrewsbury fans' ears, shouldn't it, Ollie?
It should be, yeah. It should be. It still doesn't explain. Obviously, these things are never simple, are they? They're never simple. And obviously, it was revealed by Matt Taylor back in, was it November, that he'd been offered a contract, which was, I don't know, maybe a ploy. I don't know. Maybe kind of releasing that information at that time. Obviously, we asked the question, and it wasn't like planted or anything. But that maybe was a, you know, I don't know, a tactic to maybe encourage Dan to sign a contract or to maybe change a narrative of some description. And Dan's pretty much said he wants to stay. So I suppose it'll be, I'm kind of intrigued to see how this summer's going to pan out, you know, with the changeover of players. I'm sure we'll come on to it, but he wants to stay. That's what he said. He didn't say it in those words, but like that is pretty much, if you're going to, you know, he wants to stay. And somebody tweeted me about it this morning, and they weren't perhaps too far away from where I perhaps see the situation being, that, you know, it's just whether the clubs can meet an evaluation of what Dan thinks he's worth. Because, like, let's be honest, he's probably been the best player in the last, would you say him and Marco have been the two best players? Maybe Winchester, the three of them have been the best players since Hurst's taken over. So he deserves a contract that reflects being one of Shrewsbury Town's best players and their striker that's, you know, scored goals. And if you give him chances, he scores. He didn't have any chances at the start of the season, so he's never going to score any goals. You know, he's like feeding off scraps. And at the end, a lot of the time, he was on the edge of his own area defending more than he was attacking. Yeah. So I would say he deserves a contract that reflects his position in the squad. Now, whether Shrewsbury find themselves in a position to be handing out big contracts anymore, we know that was pretty much the way I think it used to go. You know, obviously Steve Cottrell had his way of dealing with it, building a smaller squad, paying bigger wages, and getting a higher caliber of player in. Whether Shrewsbury are going to want to continue to go down that path or whether they're going to change narrative is an interesting one that we'll have to wait and see, basically, how they're going to tackle it. You know, obviously they've got more members of the squad here this season. And you can perhaps see that they've kind of paid less money for them based on the quality in comparison to the squad that was put together for last campaign by Cottrell. But then also they've been able to cope with the injury difficulties that they've had much better, and they've not been relying on, you know, a couple of occasions the kids have been on the bench, but they've not been relying on, You know, I can remember Plymouth away at the end of last season where they literally couldn't fill, you know, couldn't put a squad together. So it's a really interesting position that Shrewsbury find themselves in, you know, heading into this season and the next season and where they are with contracts. But I think it'd be a real shame to let someone like Dan Udo go. I think, you know, you've got somebody who's kind of a bit of a proven striker in the building. You never know what you're going to get when you bring somebody else in, as you can, like, say, you know, obviously they brought in Max Matter. That at this stage hasn't worked out. So I suppose you never know what you're going to get, do you? Whereas with Dan, you know what you're going to get, and you know that he's a decent League One striker, and, you know, they can, you know, really, I suppose, build around him. Really, he scores. He does. If played in the right way, he scores goals, and you know his record under Hurst proves that. 6 in 15. You know, by that maths, I mean, it's a very rough estimate, but, you know, 15 times 3. He's 45, and you times 6, you know, he's getting close to 20 league goals, isn't he? So if he'd have continued that form throughout the season, which 20 league goals in any team is a good effort, and that's just the league. So yeah, it's interesting. He's obviously just come back from an ACL injury as well, and he's his fitness has been pretty good too. So I think Udo can be pretty, I think he can feel pretty proud of his efforts this season, considering he was pretty much like just constantly rolled out and used and made to charge around up front.
Yeah, that'll sort of, he's addressed his future to a certain extent there. The future of a quite a long list of Salop players will be up in the air now in the coming weeks. Paul Hurst did speak about that as well. He said, I think there has already been things going on in my head, but it's difficult because you're not quite sure. He said it is frustrating because you want to get on with things and you want to know exactly what you are doing next week. He's also said there will be changes. It is inevitable. It always happens in football. They have gone through a challenging season for different reasons, whether it is the change of manager or the situation that we find ourselves in. It is not easy, but I think it is a great job to have running around and do what I hope those players still love to do. He's basically, there are going to be changes. I'm just going to go through the list, Ollie, of sort of the players that will leave the club this summer, including loan players. And it is quite an extensive list. So these are the players who are out of contract. And I know that you can explain more on terms of which players the club have an option on. So the out-of-contract players, you've got Jack Price, goalkeeper Mark Amorosi. Says here, Tom Bayliss, Dan Udo, Aidan O'Brien, Shea Dunkley, Mal Benning, Ryan Tulloch, who's only just arrived at the club, Tom Flanagan, Ryan Bowman, Harry Burgoyne, Elliot Bennett, Aaron Pierre, Tamisi Sabuale, and Jason Schreyer. And then obviously the lone players will return. That is Jack Hinchey, Joe Anderson, and Noam Kenner. So that is a long list, Ollie. So when he says there's going to be changes this summer, that's a bit of an understatement.
Yeah, it's probably, yeah. I mean, I'd to go through each individual case. A lot of those have got options in their contracts, yeah. So are not necessarily out of contract, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the club will take up those options.
No, of course.
That is the benefit of putting those in. I quite like the idea of having an option. It gives the club a bit of stability. They can enforce options and sell players if they feel like they can get value for them, or they can be, you know, just out of contract and kind of, you know, in a position where, you know, they're looking for another club. So, yeah, it does feel like that. It feels like this is quite a regular thing in the lower leagues. There is more change. I feel as that's kind of the structure, that clubs don't tend to hand out big multi-year deals.
No. Strikes me the one that this summer and last summer are going to be pretty similar, because last summer, even though there was a lot of players left from the Steve Cottrell time in terms of, you like you said there, when he built a smaller squad on bigger wages, the likes of Morosi, Shipley, Bayliss that he brought in, you know, there was still a lot of change last summer, and there will be this summer, compared to, say, the summer before that, when it was quite stable. I think maybe 4 or 5 players may have come in. It seems like this summer it's going to be a sort of typical League One, League Two transfer window for Shrewsbury, where there is going to be a high turnover of players.
I mean, that retain and release list is going to be absolutely intriguing, because there are going to be players on that list you would expect that you might not expect to see. So who exactly it's going to be released. I mean, you don't know. It is really intriguing. I don't want to say looking forward to it, but I am like kind of, you know, intrigued to see what decisions are going to be made by Mickey Moore and Paul Hurst. I imagine that they'll both be involved in kind of who stays and who goes and who they offer contracts to and who they don't. So yeah, and players like being free agents too, because they get signing on bonuses. So some of them might not be necessarily against it, and you know, some of them might want to move on. You never know. Mm. So yeah, it does feel like it's going to be a summer of change. So, you know, Paul Hurst was keen to point that out post-match. He said that to me, didn't he, that you know, it's inevitable in League One football. So when those decisions are going to be made, I'm sure that the questions will be asked on Friday about that. So it'd be intriguing to see what the situation is, Johnny.
Yeah, that's something we'll, you know, next week we'll do a longer podcast. We're going to sort of review the season and we'll go through these players and see sort of who Ollie thinks may go on and who may stay, although we might have had the release and retain list by then. You don't really know. In terms of questions, we haven't got an awful lot of questions this week, have we, Ollie? You put one out yesterday saying the Survival Special, which is going to be the name of the podcast, I think, because I hate coming up with names of podcasts, so you've given me one there. One, due to Town surviving, and two, due to me surviving the London Marathon. We were both.
We haven't had any marathon chat. Did you like the abuse I was sending you on Instagram with your stories and I was calling your names?
Yeah, I won't repeat what you called me. But it did give me a little bit of motivation. I thought, I'll show him.
For context for people who are obviously listening to this, Johnny was kind of posting videos of himself running throughout the London Marathon on Sunday. And I was kind of giving him some positive encouragement, telling him to stop being a big... Oh, I can't finish that. But to get on with it, but at one stage you looked like you were dying.
Yeah, I was struggling.
I was like kind of sat on my sofa thinking, I'm glad I'm not Johnny Drury right now because that looks painful. I think, especially when you were like, oh, 10 miles in.
Yeah, I think the last few miles I started to look terrible. Although I was told I looked pretty good by the end of it. But I don't think it didn't feel very good anyway. But yeah, we were both down in London at the weekend. But then, South fans, my current situation is there will be probably some clips going out from this podcast. And you might be wondering why I'm standing up. It's because I can't really sit down properly because my back hurts. So that's the state of my body at the moment. So yeah, be resting up this week. But yeah, marathon trainers are very much hung up. I'm a full-time golfer now. I'm not a runner.
Yeah,
might take cricket up again instead or something like that.
Just play village cricket. It's too frustrating.
There we go. Sound fans, almost out of time. Bit of a nod forward to Leighton Orient home on Saturday, 12:30 kickoff down at the Crowd Meadow. I'm sure the atmosphere will be relaxed among the supporters on Saturday. Like you say, dead rubber, but you're probably pretty happy that it's going to be a dead rubber. What do you think Paul Hurst will do in terms of his side? Will he maybe give
a
few minutes, or you know, what's the benefit of mixing it up? You know, it's the last game of the season.
I don't see what the point of doing that is.
No.
I don't know what he's going to do with this side, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm really kind of confused by it. We'll see, I suppose. I really that's another thing that intrigues me. Like, obviously we've not had press yet, so we're recording this podcast before press, so it's hard to know. I believe press is going to be on Friday this week, so it really is hard to know what he's going to do with his team. Will they pick an unchanged team? How, you know, I'm curious. I would expect it to be perhaps fairly similar. I don't see what the benefit is. And some of those players who are going to be out of contract and perhaps are going to be like let go, like how competitive are they going to be? You know, obviously it's a dead rubber. They've got moves that they're playing for. You know, are they actually going to want to play? You know, obviously nothing to play for on Saturday for Shrewsbury. So it'll be just pride at stake. So who knows? I imagine Leighton Orient will be in a similar boat anyway. So let's keep our fingers crossed and see if they can get a final result to kind of put this season to bed, which is at times been a difficult one,
that's been a difficult one. I'm going to finish the podcast. I've got a bit of a bone to pick with y'all, to be honest.
Go on.
I feel like you're cheating on me and me and the Salop fans, to be honest. in the podcasting right. world. As Salop fans will have seen, you've sort of flown the nest and sort of spread yourself out to another podcast. So, you know, I'm feeling a little bit hurt at the moment. I'm sure you're going to do a fantastic job as Salop fans will have seen on
your...
Are you
promoting the cricket show? Is that what you're
doing? I am, yeah, promoting the cricket show. But at the same time, just remember which side, where your bread's buttered. Remember your friends, yeah. You know, when you go in top of the pile alongside the likes of Tail Enders for the top cricket podcast. Just remember us, won't you? Just remember us, little people, all our listeners that we have here at Shrewd Views, and your co-host.
Well, Shrewd Views is the goat of the Shropshire podcasting world.
That's what we
want to
hear.
That's and it's not a podcast; it's a radio show.
Oh, it's a radio. All right, okay. I do apologise. That softens the problem. Although still a little bit.
Yeah, it is on BBC Sounds, I suppose, so you can listen to it back, but it's pre-recorded. So I actually recorded an episode a couple of weeks ago with some of the guys at BBC Radio Shropshire, but it's I think it's going out in a week or so. So it's actually a nice thing. I get to catch up with a couple of, obviously, I used to play with Joe Leach and Barney, so I lived with Barney for quite a couple of years. So it's good to catch up with those guys. And it's a kind of different project. So there's a couple other things coming on with the paper, hopefully down the line as well, hopefully in some form of cricket coverage. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Fingers crossed that we've got some good news on that in the near future too.
Oh, brilliant. Well, watch that space. And yeah, on a serious note, if you want to hear Ollie not talking Salop, talking more cricket, if you're a bit of a cricket nut as well as a Salop fan, you can head over to BBC Radio Shropshire for their new cricket show. Right, I'll want to go. Enjoy Saturday. Thank you for your time. As always, Salop fans, I'm sure you're breathing a huge sigh of relief this week, and you can enjoy your summer knowing that you're going to be in League One next season. Enjoy the game on Saturday, and we'll be back with an extended episode next week. Until then, goodbye.